Off-Road Friday. This is The Drive with Derek Gilbert on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Monday on The Drive, you know, this just occurred to me that I may be a little too politically incorrect for my own good. On Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, our guest will be Dr. Steve Cole. He's the author of a book called The Black Church, The Root of the Problems. And basically, his belief is that the church has failed black Americans and is actually leading to more problems than it should solve. Hadn't thought about scheduling that for Martin Luther King Jr. Day when I did it, but that'll be our guest on The Drive Monday afternoon on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Our guest now is, as Off-Road Friday continues, is a consumer activist, a privacy protection rights crusader, who's been warning about the dangers of RFID, radio frequency identification chips, for quite some time, co-author of Spy Chips and publisher of spychips.com, also nocards.org. We'll talk about that in a bit. Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Catherine, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Hey, Derek. It's great to be on your show.
You're somebody I've wanted to talk to for a long time. I've been watching RFID chips and how they're being used. And as I often tell listeners here, I wear the tinfoil hat so they don't have to. But it strikes me that it might not be in my best interests to have a little radio transmitter in my pocket or implanted in my back of my hand or whatever, telling people where I am and everything about me. Am I wrong to be concerned?
Well, I'll tell you, the vast majority of people, when they hear about RFID and what it can do, polls are showing that between two-thirds and three-quarters of Americans agree with you that it may not be such a good idea to have tiny tracking beacons embedded in our clothing and ultimately potentially in our flesh. If you ask corporate America, on the other hand, they'll tell you that they've invested close to $1 billion in creating the infrastructure to tag, literally place a tiny microchip in a transmitter into every physical object manufactured on Earth to replace the barcode. And these things could be picked up through reader devices that could be planted in doorways and shelving and retail stores and floor ceilings, you name it. So there's big bucks going into this, but the average American, first of all, has no idea it's happening. And second of all, if they do learn about it, they make the sign of the cross and back away.
Yeah. Now, what is the purpose, from the perspective of corporate America, what is the purpose of all of this RFID tagging?
Well, if you look at what RFID does, and for your listeners who aren't familiar with RFID, let me break down that acronym for them. The RF part stands for radio frequency, and the ID part is identification. And what an RFID tag is, it's a tiny computer chip hooked up to a miniature antenna that can be placed in or on or embedded into a product or any physical object, and then it transmits a unique set of information, whether that's a unique ID number, it might be someone's name on a credit card, it could be all sorts of information embedded into that microchip that can be broadcast at a distance. Now, the reason that big corporations like Walmart, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, Kimberly-Clark, Nestle, Kraft, you name it, the reason all of these companies have spent millions of dollars invested in this technology is they want to be able to keep track of their products. And as we move into an increasingly global economy and we're shipping stuff over from China and things are moving all around, you know, across the ocean on these big ships and then they're going onto trains and trucks and moving around what's called the supply chain, it's easy for these products to get misplaced or misdirected. So what these large corporations would like to do is have a way to actually monitor their progress to be able, for example, if you're Walmart, to bring a shipment into the back room, into the warehouse, and not even have to open it up to find out what's in there, because these tiny radio frequency tags would be broadcasting their information right through the boxes and the cartons without having to open them up. Now, unfortunately, the very same thing that makes this such an advantage for a company like Walmart, who could do all of its inventory automatically through radio waves, is the very same capability that some of the people who don't have our privacy interest at heart would like to take advantage of. And we've identified marketers, government agents, and criminals as people who are likely to take advantage of the form of X-ray vision that RFID gives you to invade our privacy in a number of different ways.
How much progress has big corporations like Walmart made in sort of standardizing RFID tagging of products?
Well, Walmart has pretty much single-handedly driven the adoption of RFID in this country and actually potentially around the globe. RFID, Walmart a couple of years back issued a mandate to its top suppliers. These are the companies that make everyday products in all of our homes, that they had to become compliant with the RFID agenda. They had to invest in this technology and begin affixing these RFID tags, which we call spy chips, onto crates and pallets of product bound for Walmart warehouses. Now, many of these companies grumbled. They didn't want to spend the money. This is expensive technology. It's complicated technology to some extent. It's not necessarily 100% effective. So there was a lot of grumbling, but ultimately Walmart, you know, is the 800-pound gorilla of the retail sphere, has the power to say to these suppliers, well, if you don't do it, you can't sell your products at Walmart. And unfortunately, thanks to our buying decisions as the public, because we're spending so much of our money at Walmart, if you manufacture products and you can't sell them through that channel, you could potentially go out of business. So Walmart said jump. The companies grumbled a little, and then they ultimately said, well, how high do you want us to jump? And so at this point, we're now seeing products, particularly Hewlett-Packard scanners and printers, Lexmark scanners, and there are a couple of other products they've trialed with RFID tags actually being sold now through Walmart stores.
Catherine Albrecht, author, a co-author of Spy Chips, How the Major Corporations of the Government Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move, is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. The practice of tagging these pallets of goods, especially things that are coming in from overseas, Catherine, this is interesting to me because one of the topics that we cover here on The Drive is the what appears to be a movement within the business community and the governments of U.S., Canada, and Mexico to sort of merge into a super state, and part of that being the breaking down of national borders, so that when goods cross borders, rather than having to stop trucks and inspect containers, they can just be scanned. Is this part of the movement to kind of standardize RFID tagging of everything that comes in or everything that is being purchased by the major companies like Walmart?
Well, we're actually seeing this RFID push coming both from government and from industry and in a couple of different directions. But I think the end point is that unless we consumer citizens stand up and put a stop to it, we are likely to see virtually everything become RFID tagged, whether that's shipping crates, which frankly, as a consumer, that doesn't affect me much. But if you're talking about putting RFID readers alongside highways and the super corridor that they're looking to create from Mexico up through Canada, at that point you have to look at what's already happening with RFID transponders that many of us have unwittingly put into our own cars in order to pay the tolls. In our book, Spy Chips, we actually have a chapter on transportation where we talk about the fact that the toll transponder that people stick on their windshield, I don't know if you have them there in your part of the country.
Not yet, not here in Missouri. No.
Well, they've pretty much hit most of the, I'd say at least several dozen states around the country, and most of the toll roads now have converted over to where instead of stopping and paying a toll, you just stick this little RFID transponder on your windshield. And essentially what this thing does is it performs a sort of a data handshake whenever you pass within range of a reader. This handshake that transmits your information to the reader is invisible, it's silent, you have no way of knowing it's happening. And what we discovered in doing the research for Spy Chips is that many governments have begun taking advantage of the fact that you're driving around with this essentially tracking beacon in your car, and they're putting those toll transponders miles away from the toll booths. In fact, we found in Houston, Texas, that they were putting these on the freeway signs, literally the signs that hang over the road. They have little antennas aiming down into traffic, and they can literally monitor the cars that pass by and identify who the registered owners of those vehicles are and keep tabs on where people are going. So, yes, if we move in this direction to where we believe that vehicular traffic, because it's coming from other countries, needs to be more closely monitored, that infrastructure is going to catch us in its net and in its web as well. Not only are we seeing it on the transportation side, we're also seeing it on the government identity document side. Few people realize that passports now, as of January 1st, have all passports issued in the United States, from what we've been told, will contain an RFID tag.
Really?
Yeah. So what that means is that your passport actually is available to anyone who has the code or the ability to decrypt the information on it, which would be essentially any government with a passport office, can find out who you are at a distance and can do it miles away from a passport office. So when you travel over in Europe or you're overseas and you open up your passport, which in many cases you need to log on to an internet computer or you need to at an internet cafe or to change money at a bank, when you open up your passport, anybody standing within about a 20-foot read range who has access to this technology can scan the information right off your passport and use it to identify you as an American, could use it to potentially steal your identity. So there's some real concerns with carrying identity documents in your pocket that are capable of beaming out information using radio waves without your knowledge.
Lovely. Our phone lines are open if you've got a question for Catherine Albrecht, co-author of Spy Chips. The number's 874-9390. If you're calling from outside mid-Missouri, listening in on the internet stream at theeagle939.com, that's 800-529-5572. We've got Kirk on the line. Kirk, you've got some information on ID chips right here in Missouri.
Yes. If you're driving on the interstate, going towards Kansas City or St. Louis, and you go near where they have way stations for the trucks, there's an RFI interface there that, well, I don't know whether if the trucks have already been inspected before, it makes it so that you don't have to stop or what the deal is, but you can see the antennas on poles hanging over the interstate.
Interesting.
Yeah,
for scanning cargo and trucks, you think?
Well, and that's actually not surprising, because one of the trials that's underway now is to put an RFID transponder into the license plates in Great Britain. And the idea there is that law enforcement would be able to literally station a reader by the side of a road or go into a crime-ridden or a drug neighborhood and identify all of the cars passing by with this reader device by the side of the road, literally just downloading the information from cars as they drive by. And one of the other things that's worrisome about this is we know that Michelin Tires has begun embedding RFID tags into the rubber inside of their tires.
So, oh, really?
If you wanted to lay down an RFID reader in a road, or even a whole network of RFID readers, it would be a relatively trivial matter to do that.
My sister's a tire designer there. I'm going to have to ask her about that.
She's at Michelin?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, she can show you all their schematics. they're actually pretty impressive. They've got it to the point where it is pressure resistant. It's supposed to last the entire life of the tire, and it's literally embedded right into the rubber, and you can't gouge it out. Obviously, you destroy your tires, so it's
very,
a permanent part of the vehicle.
Very, very interesting. Dr. Catherine Albrecht is our guest on the Off-Road Friday here on The Drive. We're talking about RFID chips and how they can be used to track your every move in your license plate, in your passport, even in your tires. But is this a bad thing? We'll talk about the case of Ben Ownby and how RFID might have affected the search for that young man. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is Off-Road Friday on The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Thinking outside the cave. This is The Drive and Off-Road Friday on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Derek Gilbert at the wheel and just hanging on for dear life. Ice storm warning remains in effect through midnight tomorrow night. No, check that, midnight Sunday night. Justin Offerman will have more details with the Eagle 93.9 KOMU Weather Plus forecast coming up in less than 10 minutes. We rejoin our guest, Catherine Albrecht. She is the co-author of Spy Chips and the website spychips.com. Want to talk a little bit about Ben Ownby, the 13-year-old found safely after 4 days. We'll get to that topic in just a minute. But first, want to get to the phones. 874-9390, 800-529-5572 from outside mid-Missouri. Ross from Rangeline, hang on through the break. Ross, welcome to the Eagle 93.9. You're on with Catherine Albrecht.
Hello. I was wondering, do you foresee someone putting out a book showing the locations of these RFIDs and products so that they could be disarmed or, you know, neutralized? Because I really, if I buy something, take it home, I don't want Big Brother looking over my shoulder.
Well, amen, Ross. I hear you. And, in fact, that's one of the reasons why my co-author and I wrote the book Spy Chips, was to talk about the companies that are doing this and what their plans are. And let me just give you a couple of examples. We found a patent by IBM for something called the Person Tracking Unit. And you couldn't make this stuff up. I'll tell you, this is literally the name they chose to give their device. And what it is it's an RFID reader that they recommend placing in places like elevators, public restrooms, sports arenas, shopping malls, museums, libraries,
restrooms,
literally everywhere. Yeah. So you'd have this reader device. Now, let me see if I can explain to your listeners what this reader looks like and how this system works. IBM is envisioning the day when every company, instead of putting a barcode on the product, is going to embed one of these tiny chip antenna combinations. And by the way, these chips are so small that they resemble specks of dust. They're incredibly tiny. And they have a read range of anywhere from, a couple of inches to a couple of feet. Most of the ones that IBM is looking at have a read range of about 5 to 15 feet. So the idea is that these would be embedded in your shoes. They'd be slipped between the layers of your clothing. They would be in literally embedded and woven into things that you wore and carried. And as you walked around in public, these tiny devices would be transmitting their unique ID number. Now, let me give an example of a shoe. If I go into a Foot Locker or any store, who knows where, maybe a Walmart, since they're probably the likely to do it first, and I buy a pair of, size 7 women's running shoes, embedded in that shoe, they envision there would be a tiny RFID tag that would emit a unique ID number, say 308247, et cetera. Now, they would link that unique ID number up, like a social security number or a serial number, with my identity when I paid for that pair of shoes with my credit card. Now, everywhere I go from that point forward, any place you can put a reader, whether it's under a floor tile, in a doorway, in a bathroom, in a museum, you name it, and I broadcast that signal from my shoe to that reader, someone can look that up in a database and say, hey, that's that size 7 Nike running shoe that Catherine Albrecht, author of Spy Chips, bought, 3 months ago at the Foot Locker store. There's a pretty good chance she was standing in it. So it creates the potential for them to literally track you and follow you around and keep tabs on how long you stand in front of the pregnancy test kits or the dandruff shampoo or whatever it might be as you walk around in these public spaces.
This is like a combination of the movie Conspiracy Theory and Enemy of the State.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, of course, in Enemy of the State, you got Will Smith, who can't figure out how the bad guys keep finding him until he realizes he's going to have to empty everything out of his pocket because they've planted tiny tracking devices in there. So if you want to get a picture of the nightmare that this technology is going to create, that's a perfect movie to go and rent and scare yourself with a big bowl of popcorn. But, yeah, so what IBM suggests doing, now who would want to do this? Well, they say not only can you track individuals around, but you can also look inside of people's purses, their backpacks, and their briefcases, because the problem with radio frequency identification is the radio waves travel right through the things we rely on to protect our privacy. The radio waves travel right through plastic, right through leather. So if you're carrying a purse and you walk into a store, what IBM recommends is once every item in a woman's purse is tagged with RFID, they say put a reader device and literally scan, do sort of a form of virtual frisk or a sort of an RF X-ray of everything she's wearing and carrying. And they recommend that marketers should look in women's purses and see, for example, if a woman's carrying a baby bottle, they'd know that she would be a good target for baby products, and then they could flash her advertisements for diapers. This is not us coming up with this. This is IBM. The scariest part of this whole patent was towards the end when they talk about using this for government agents to keep tabs on the public. And that was the one that really, I got to tell you, just put chills down my spine.
Government
keeping... Yeah, that everywhere I go, somebody's going to be watching.
Okay, and Ross's question was, is there a way that we can know where these things are and how to defuse them, render them inactive?
Well, I'll tell you, the key, in addition to writing Spy Chips, and of course, the last chapter in the book, we name the companies that are currently involved with this technology today. We have a website up at boycottgillette.com. You can see how Gillette was using this technology and literally taking mugshots of its customers through hidden cameras triggered by RFID tags at the shelf in stores. We found that Procter & Gamble was hiding these tags in women's lipstick and using it to trigger webcams that could be watched by Procter & Gamble employees, 700 miles away. This was at a Walmart store also. So I'd say definitely be on the lookout for those companies. But I think the most important thing is the work that we've been doing in the last couple of years around the country to get legislation passed that would make it a crime to hide an RFID tag in a consumer product and not tell you. So what we're calling for is labeling. So if they want to put an RFID tag between the soles of your shoe or embed it in the Calvin Klein clothing label, which we have photographs of at our website at spychips.com, if they want to put those into consumer products, there has to be a clear labeling and a clear notice to you, the consumer, so that you can figure out how to either A, deactivate the tag, or B, decide not to purchase the thing in the first place.
I think that's... That's an excellent. How many companies out there are doing this right now, putting tags in clothing, in consumer products?
Well, the good news is that we found out about this back in 2002, that some of the planet's largest global corporations had gotten together behind closed doors and created this system. And we began a battle against this technology back in 2002, 2003. We launched a boycott against Benetton, the Italian clothing manufacturer, who was going to put these tags into women's bras and underwear. You can imagine if somebody had a reader device, they could literally scan a woman's, what she's wearing under her clothing and find out the size and color of her underwear. The women of the world were not amused. We had a massive boycott around the world, and Benetton was forced to tuck its tail between its legs and cancel the plan. We had the same thing happen with Gillette. They canceled their shelf trials where they were taking these photographs of people. So at this point in time, we know that virtually every major corporation has invested in RFID. Virtually every major corporation, at least that manufactures consumer products, is working with Walmart to try to get these things small enough and cheap enough to put on everything. And we know that virtually every major company is working on pallet and crate tagging. And what that means is when products come into the Walmart warehouse, they come in a great big sort of shrink-wrapped pallet. And the pallet is the wooden thing that the forklift lifts. Those now are RFID tagged in many Walmart stores. But the individual items that you and I are going to pick up and wear and take home have not been tagged. And we attribute that, based on going to all of these conferences and hearing the industry talk about it, to the fact that they've gotten so much negative consumer feedback that they're afraid. So I think that what you're going to see is at some point here a major advertising push to get people to say, oh, well, this will make us safer, this will make products cheaper, whatever it is they're going to use to sell this to us. And at that point, when you start seeing those ads, that's the time to be very afraid, because right, it probably means that the avalanche is coming.
Safety, that's an issue we'll talk about as we continue our conversation with Catherine Albrecht. SpyChips.com is the website. The book, Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move, co-written with Liz McIntyre. Give us about 4 minutes. We've got a full bank of phones waiting to talk to you, Catherine. We'll be right back. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is Off-Road Friday on The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Like a lift kit for your brain. This is Off-Road Friday on The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Derek Gilbert here, and we're looking at the weather for you. We'll keep our eyes on it all through the weekend, so make sure you're here as this ice storm continues to roll through mid-Missouri. Travel tonight, not recommended. Extremely hazardous. In fact, a number of us are going to be bunking in here tonight rather than trying to make our way home. Our guest is Catherine Albrecht. She's co-author of Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move. And we're taking your calls at 874-9390. Outside mid-Missouri, 800-529-5572. Catherine, we go back to the phones with Christian in Columbia. Christian, thanks for holding on through the break. You're on the Eagle 93.9.
Hi. I might not be getting all my technology straight, but if I recall correctly, some of our slippage and theft control devices are actually RFID chips.
Some of the what?
Theft and slippage control devices for, like, books and product and merchandise in stores.
You're probably thinking of the anti-theft technology?
Yeah.
Basically...
If I recall correctly, they are essentially RFID chips with very large antennas. And when we purchase something, they hit them with a directed RF burst of energy, and it burns out the capacitors in them.
You're sort of partly right. you're talking about the anti-theft tags, and in fact, we get a lot of email from people who believe they've found an RFID tag because they look very similar. There are two main companies across the world that are manufacturing anti-theft technology, and the listeners may recognize these. They look kind of like a sticker with a sort of an antenna running around the edge of it, like a racetrack. Sometimes they're blue or they're pinkish colored. They're kind of silvery. The other kind you might see is called acoustomagnetic technology, which is a little raised white box. If you cut it open, you'll see two little strips of what look like Christmas ribbon inside of them. I don't know, Derek, if that's ringing a bell for you, but
it is. Yes.
Yeah. What those companies are doing is creating, or what they've actually been doing for about 10 or 15 years now, is placing those into products. But they don't have the microchip component that an RFID tag has. So they operate on kind of a similar principle, but what's different about them is if I have one of those, let's say in a shoe or in a book or in something, and I walk past the reader device or the doorway scanner at Walmart and someone hasn't deactivated it, I'll set off the scanner, but the scanner won't know what I'm carrying. The company that I'm most concerned about with RFID is a company called Checkpoint Systems that manufactures those. They'd like to migrate them into RFID tags. So now when I walk through the scanner at Walmart or through that doorway portal, instead of saying, go back, there's something not paid for, or something didn't get deactivated, it would say, we just inventoried everything you're wearing and carrying that has one of these tags in it. We know that what you walked through the doorway with this time was that pair of size 7 Nike running shoes.
And we've debited your account for $89.95 plus tax.
Well, actually, they probably wouldn't do that unless, at least not on subsequent visits, because the idea is that each object, unlike a barcode where everything, every can of Coke has the same barcode number, in the RFID system, every can of Coke, literally every light bulb, every pair of socks would have a unique ID number.
Right.
So once they charge it to you once, even if you walk back through that doorway again, they can scan it, they can identify it, but they're not going to charge it to you again because they already know that it's been sold.
Ah.
My question, though, was if you can hit that with whatever type of high energy and burn out the capacitors, would it not be able to use some sort of directed EM pulse or high energy RF burst and also burn out these chips and, say, a handheld device that you you could wand over your clothing and sort of inoculate yourself?
Yeah, one of the and actually on our spychips.com website, we've got an FAQ that talks a little bit about deactivating tags. The one effective way of doing this, and I'll preface this by saying don't do it at home, is with a microwave oven.
Right.
The reason I say don't do it, we've actually got a picture in SpyChips of Liz and I had this great experience where we went to a conference, we got some RFID tags, and we wanted to see if the microwave oven would work. So we put these things in. We decided we'd be conservative and put them in for about 15 seconds. I'll tell you, after 4 seconds, that sucker burst into flames.
Oh.
We have a picture on page 147 of the book of the chapter called The Chips That Won't Die, which talks about how hard it is to kill these things.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally see them with char marks because they burst into flames in the microwave. It would work if you put it in for a second or two, but I wouldn't recommend it, particularly not in something that's like a pair of shoes or a clothing item that could be destroyed.
Yeah,
we're still working on a safe way to do that.
Yeah, the good news is that you deactivate the chip. The bad news is you've got the hole now in the Donna Karan address. Catherine, a big story we've been tracking here at the Eagle 93.9 for the last 4 days was the disappearance of a 13-year-old boy from a town in just southeast of here. He was found safely just a few hours ago in suburban St. Louis, Kirkwood. The other part of the story is that when he was found, a 15-year-old boy who's been missing for 4 years was also found alive, thank God. Will proponents of RFID technology and tagging suggest that if these boys had been tagged, they might have been found much sooner?
Well, let me start by saying it's a tragic story, and nobody wants to hear about these things happening. If the industry could use this to its advantage, it would, but I'll tell you why they won't, because the technology doesn't work for that. There is an implantable form of RFID. It has the microchip. It has the antenna. It's encapsulated in glass. It's called the VeriChip, and it's mm-hmm. manufactured by a company out of Florida. And it can be injected into human flesh. They literally use a big, just a hypodermic needle, anesthetize the area. Right now they're putting it between people's elbows and their shoulders in the upper part of the arm, right under the subcutaneous layer of flesh there. The thing about that tag, though, is its read range is literally only about a foot to 18 inches.
Okay.
There is currently no injectable technology or no RFID technology that you could put into a child or a hiker or a soldier, anyone else for that matter, that would be trackable by a satellite like a GPS unit. If you could get one, you would have to replace the battery or find a way to power that internally, and it'd be about the size of a pager. I know that the company that makes this little tiny VeriChip with its 18-inch read range has talked for years about an implantable sort of device that could do that, but I've yet to actually see it, and frankly, I think it's a vaporware. And I don't know who would actually want to undergo major surgery to have something the size of a pager implanted under their collarbone, you know, for that reason. I mean, you'd have a far greater risk of dying from the surgery probably than from the abduction. And speaking of abductions, I know whenever cases like this come up, people get afraid, and, you know, as a parent myself, I know that it, you know, it's a terrifying prospect. But there's a little bit of good news. Your child is actually 2.5 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to be abducted by a stranger in this way.
Hmm. Catherine Elbeck is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. Lines are open at 874-9390, 800-529-5572. We go to Chris in Columbia. Chris, you're on the Eagle 93.9 with Catherine Albrecht.
Well, I was sitting here thinking to myself, and I don't know if your guest knows this, but Derek is a proponent of tinfoil hats. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking I'm going to have tinfoil booties and tinfoil underwear.
Yeah.
And that's
going to
chafe, I'm sure.
It would work. In fact, if you have an RFID passport issued by the State Department and you don't want it read at a distance, you can actually buy RF shielding fabric or RF shielding wallets to put your passport in, and they are essentially tinfoil.
Well, that's what I thought of the other day when I heard that on the news. They were talking about maybe even driver's license. I thought you could just carry it in tinfoil if you're worried. But to me, this is what you mentioned earlier, is where some smart entrepreneur somewhere is going to come up with a little gadget that you can take home with your new clothes and, you know, shut everything down or burn it up or whatever it takes, pass a magnet past it or whatever it needs to, you know, have done. Somebody out there will do that. I do
well,
not
your
doubt.
Problem's going to be, at this current point in time, your problem's going to be finding it. Because, like I said, these things can literally be dropped into the mold when you're pouring the plastic to make an object and be embedded deep within the object itself.
Well,
so
they
can be tricky to find.
You know, need a locator to go with that. But anyway, I was thinking, you know,
well, there you go.
I don't have a problem if they cannot tie it to you as a person. If they just want to say, well, like they do on the Internet, you know, the person that bought the tennis shoes goes to this store often or something. But once they tie it to your name or your Social Security number or your credit card or whatever, it kind of starts bothering me.
Yeah, and the problem is even if it's not linked to you, it's possible that it could be linked to you later, because if your shoe is broadcasting the same number everywhere you go, all it takes is for somebody to capture that number once, link it up with you, and then any time in the future they know that's you. You know, so even if the retailers and the manufacturers aren't making the data link, the very fact of giving you a unique ID number that you're continually broadcasting, that only your shoe broadcasts, puts you at essentially the same risk.
Mm-hmm.
Good call.
And by the way, you can disable the RFID tag in your Calvin Klein shirt, but you can't disable the RFID tag in your real ID driver's license down the road, because you would essentially be, you know, violating the law by doing so. So there's a real concern. We actually found, my co-author Liz McIntyre and I, when we were doing the research for Spy Chips, we actually found a request for proposals by the Department of Homeland Security. And what they wanted to create, or what they asked business to propose, was a way to embed an RFID tag in an identity document that a person would carry in their wallet or their purse or their backpack that could be read literally if the person was a passenger in a car going 60 miles an hour down the freeway from an overpass. So their idea was that you would have these law enforcement agents, presumably, pointing reader devices at strangers walking down the street or at cars driving past and identifying the individuals walking around.
Mm-hmm.
From a distance. They would have a screen. They'd call up literally your name, your home address, all your information, you know, just by pointing this device at you. So you know, it would be simple to put reader devices in doorways and scan everybody walking through.
Yeah.
It's really the end of privacy.
The temptation for a lot of critics of this, skeptics, I should say, is that this is just Internet conspiracy theory. But I'll tell you, Neil Bortz has picked up on it, and he was ranting about this on his program the other day. So if it's Internet wackos that are concerned about this, Catherine, there are quite a few of us out there, and the numbers are growing. We go to line one now, and Roy in Columbia. Roy, welcome to the Eagle 93.9. You're on with Catherine Albrecht.
Good evening, Catherine. You've given this a lot of thought and a lot of research. What would keep me from carrying around with me a radio transmitter that basically put out white noise?
The FCC would keep you from doing that. The Federal Communication Commission has very tight guidelines and restrictions on what you can do within these frequency ranges. And, in fact, that's one of the great fears that Walmart and the Department of Defense, by the way, which is also using this to tag shipments going to the war theater overseas, is that someone could essentially do exactly what you've described. One of the, you could either put out white noise, you could put out some sort of interference, you could put out other signals operating at the same frequency and jam the equipment, and you could essentially, I mean, one of the terror scenarios here is someone could drive up outside of a DOD storage facility and literally just from the back of a truck beam out microwave energy that would cause, imagine this, cause every RFID tag in that facility to burst into flames.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So you've got the potential, I think, for huge criminal activity here down the road because this stuff is so reactive at a distance with radio waves. So you either jam the signals and mess up somebody's entire inventory system, or you could literally cause these things to burn up.
But if I had such a device and I walked into Walmart with it, I would be the only one in the store that they wouldn't know who it was that did it.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, and Walmart, I think, faces the very real concern that there's a lot of hackers out there. There's a lot of black hat and white hat hackers both.
That's
working
right.
Very hard to disrupt this technology because I think people really see that, you know, from a civil liberties perspective, this stuff is playing with fire. So there are already people working all around the globe on ways to disrupt it. And imagine you took a tiny microwave transmitter and you walked around the shelves of Walmart blowing out all their tags.
Derek?
You know, no barcodes on there. How are they going to even ring that stuff out?
Derek?
Yes, sir?
Think of the lawsuit potential if I had a device that could make anything in Walmart burst into flames.
Yeah.
Or anything bought from Walmart burst into flames.
Well, and I'm sure Walmart's thinking about that. Maybe that's why we're not seeing these things in our shoes quite
that
yet.
That could be, yeah. Maybe they're thinking about this a little harder. Roy, thanks for your call. Always thought-provoking. Our guest is Catherine Albrecht. She's co-author of Spy Chips. The website's spychips.com. And from there, you can branch off to a number of other different sites that raise and discuss all of these issues. Civil liberties, privacy, technological issues. Our conversation with Catherine Albrecht continues as Off-Road Friday continues. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
The ATV of talk shows. This is The Drive and Off-Road Friday on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
I'm Derek Gilbert, and the ice is keeping me close to the station tonight. We'll keep our eyes on the ice storm. The ice storm warning continues through Sunday at midnight. Eagle 93.9 and our weather partners at KMU-TV will keep you informed here and at the website, theeagle939.com. Catherine Albrecht of SpyChips.com, co-author of Spy Chips, the book, is our guest on Off-Road Friday. Catherine, before we get let time slip away here, what kind of information, additional information, can people get from SpyChips.com, and how can we put that to good use?
Well, I think the key is we are looking to get chapters formed in every state in this country to push for legislation requiring labeling. On the federal level, we've seen nothing but an interest in supporting the industry, which is not surprising because these companies have deep pockets and lots of lobby money.
Mm-hmm.
But on the state level, we actually believe that it's possible to get this labeling legislation passed. So we would love to have the people in Missouri, if there's anybody listening who has contact with a state lawmaker who would be interested in introducing a bill to require labeling. We have a sample bill up on our website at spychips.com. There's a little section that says what to do if you're a member of the government, and we've got a little, an article up there that was published in a big legal journal. So lots of information there for lawmakers. And if people want to get more involved, want to learn more about this, and want to join the fight, they can join CASPI, and that's our organization, Consumers Against Surveillance, Privacy Invasion, and Numbering, which I founded back in 1999. We now have over 13,000 members across the country in all 50 states, and we have a free newsletter that you can also sign up for. So all of that's available at spychips.com. There's no fee for membership. All you have to do is agree that it's wrong to spy on people through the things and services people buy.
I'll put all these links in the show notes at derekpgilbert.com later on tonight, and we'll try to get one more call squeezed in before the break here. Melissa is in Columbia. Melissa, thanks for holding on. You're here with Catherine Albrecht.
Yeah, are these chips, are they the same ones that they're wanting to put into cattle?
Absolutely, yes, same technology. It's the same technology they're putting in dogs and cats and have been for years.
I was understood one of the reasons that they didn't want to do it in cattle is it was going to be so expensive to put it out into so many animals. But isn't there more lipstick than there is cattle?
Yeah, well, the idea for the consumer products is once this technology gets down to less than 5 cents per tag, and ultimately it's going to have to get down to a fraction of a penny per tag, because if you want to put these, you know, on every pencil and pen and every light bulb and pack of gum, they're going to have to be pretty cheap. So they're working on ways of making the antenna so that it's using spray-on ink that's actually part of the printing process. So the ink itself would be the conductive antenna material.
Ah.
So there's lots of ways they're making these things cheaper. The chips are getting smaller and smaller. Like I said, some of them are the size of specks of dust. So they, I believe they're probably going to hit that fraction of a penny probably within the next couple of years. And at that point, yeah. And actually, the big objection to putting it in animals, and you're probably referring to the National Animal Identification System,
mm-hmm.
which, Derek, we could do a whole other program on that. That's,
yep.
that's a nightmare of a program. The objection there really is more of a privacy objection, because people say the federal government doesn't really need to be monitoring every time I take my horse off my property or every time
my chicken
hatches out of an egg.
Yep. Thanks for your call, Melissa. We appreciate it. Off-Road Friday just about reached the end of the road for today. Catherine, SpyChips.com, NoCards.org, the website for Caspian. Catherine, it's been, yes, we definitely need to have you back and do another program.
It was a pleasure, Derek. And again, check out the book Spy Chips on our website, SpyChips.com. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about this, Derek.
All right. We'll have you back again soon. I'm Derek Gilbert. Keep it here for information on the ice storm warning as we go through the weekend. Michael Savage and the Savage Nation is next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.